Did you see that movie, Charlie Wilson's War?
What is U.S. strategy in Afghanistan?
Well, strictly speaking, we don't have one, but we're working hard on that.
Who's we?
Me and three other guys.
The movie Charlie Wilson's War was set in the Reagan administration, where three guys and the CIA director came up with the Afghanistan policy that became a lot of what we see in Afghanistan today. But today, the three other guys are much more high profile in the administration. Vice President Biden is in Brussels today asking NATO for more troops to send to Afghanistan. 17,000 more of its forces in the coming months will go there. Yesterday, the commander of U.S. and NATO-led forces in Afghanistan, General David McKiernan, said the U.S. and NATO are not winning the fight against Taliban insurgents in large parts of the south of the country. On Sunday, President Obama himself, in a New York Times interview, admitted that the coalition is not winning in Afghanistan, and he hinted that his administration might talk to moderate elements of the Taliban. Is Afghanistan at the center of U.S. policy? Well, listen for yourself.
Part of the success in Iraq involved reaching out to people that we would consider to be Islamic fundamentalists, but who were willing to work with us because they had been completely alienated by the tactics of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. There may be some comparable opportunities in Afghanistan.
President Obama on Air Force One talking to New York Times reporters in a special briefing on Friday, March 6th. That, of course, was last Friday. Joining us now is Art Keller, a former case officer with the CIA, who has an op-ed piece in the New York Times today. Comparable opportunities in Afghanistan to talk with moderate elements of the Taliban. Art Keller, first of all, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And secondly, do you think there are opportunities to talk with the Taliban? And what do you make of the 17,000 man surge in Afghanistan? Is this the kind of tactic that's going to win the so-called war against terror and the Taliban in the relatively lawless area of Afghanistan outside of Kabul?
Well, in theory, I think both are positive developments. Certainly, they're a step in the right direction. Of course, you know, there's a thousand ways it could not pan out. But people have been saying for quite a while, who've examined the matter pretty closely, that we just did not have enough troops on the ground to provide stability, which would allow space for reconstruction aid, and reconstruction is kind of one of the fundamentals of counterinsurgency work, to win over the locals. So the additional troops are definitely needed for stability, and I do believe that there are some people in the Taliban that could be persuaded, people whose primary motivation is not religious. There has been a lot of ill will generated by overuse of air power and other things, and people who have joined for economic rather than religious reasons. So those are the kind of people who, you know, if we play our cards right, can hopefully be won back.
Well, let's take a look at the cards. The air power in Afghanistan, which we've used quite a lot in the NATO offensive over there, is, according to your experience, and you've written about this, not necessarily a good card to play in a counterinsurgency campaign. Why?
Well, I once read a counterinsurgency expert, I don't recall his name now, once said the ideal counterinsurgency weapon is a knife. And that's because in order to effectively employ a knife, you have to know who you want to attack and you have to be within arm's reach. You have to know the community well enough to know who to go after. So that's why air power, because even, you know, even with precision weapons, it can be indiscriminate. And you know, the tale of people bombing wedding parties is, unfortunately, things like that do happen from time to time. It's a common tradition for people there to fire guns in the air during wedding parties. Well, people who don't know that have inadvertently from time to time bombed wedding parties because they thought they were taking fire from hostiles. But more than that, just, you know, it's a very uncertain business, and if you get bad intelligence and act on it, you know, and you're using a 500-pound bomb, well, you can take out a lot of innocent people. And, you know, local allies have not been above the practice of saying, hey, American friends, you know, this compound is full of bad guys, and Later, we find out that the compound was not full of bad guys. It was full of that person's personal enemies.
No, that sort of retribution thing has been very, very well documented, right?
Yeah, I'm just wondering how this relates to particularly the issue of the border with Pakistan. I know you have quite a bit of experience with Pakistan, but the U.S. has been using the Predator drones to work against insurgents in Pakistan, people who travel back and forth, who are Taliban-affiliated, if not Taliban themselves. It sounds like you're arguing for precision. What do you think of the Predator drone program in that light?
Well, my secrecy agreements kind of prohibit me from commenting too extensively on that. In general, I can say, it's come out in the press that I think at least eight major Taliban leaders have been removed in the last 6 months through the use of Predator strikes. While we've been singularly unsuccessful at getting number one or number two, the number three position of Al-Qaeda is one that is an oft-vacated position and is not one I would personally want to hold.
Well,
because,
yeah.
The U.S. has been fairly successful in cooperation with allies in tracking down and kind of keeping the mid-level people on the run.
But on the question of keeping the community in support of what NATO is doing, if all you're doing is Predator drones, the counterinsurgency effort really works against the presence of more troops in Afghanistan on the political level. What are the lessons from, say, the Vietnam era in getting the, it's such an overused term, hearts and minds of the people of Afghanistan on board to some sort of civic nation building that would be independent of the Taliban?
Yeah, well, I addressed this in my op-ed, and I draw some comparisons, some parallels back to Laos. It so happens as when I was graduating from CIA training, they brought in an old legend to talk to us, and this was a gentleman called Bill Lehr, who had run the CIA's covert action in Laos.
Well, let's remind people that, of course, in the Vietnam era, Cambodia and Laos were involved. Laos and Cambodia are neighbors to Vietnam, and there were insurgency campaigns both by the Viet Cong and by the United States in both Cambodia and Laos. And Bill Lehr was responsible for Laos, correct?
Yes, he was. And, while a mid-level CIA officer, he had at one point had, 30,000 native troops under him, as well as a whole air wing to call on. So he had more troops than most generals these days. And, the effort that he started at first went really well, and that was even though he had a lot working against him. Local people were extremely primitive by our standards. They didn't have any sort of a system of reading or writing. They didn't have the wheel even. But the key to Bill's success was that he had a group of people that he had trained, Thai police, who, were ethnically similar, who spoke the language, and who were the ideal people to help train the Hmong tribesmen into effective guerrilla campaigners. Ooh. And so a lot of the same challenges that obtained in Laos then, corruption, drug running, undereducated people, obtain in Afghanistan now. And, Bill's greatest success was that he used the right people in a culturally appropriate context to train those people. And so that is a lesson that we need to embrace today. The 17,000 additional troops may be needed to stabilize the country, but in order to build up the forces of the locals to run the country and to take on the insurgency, the Taliban insurgency themselves.
That's what we need to see more of, yeah. Yeah.
Art Keller, we need people who really have a feel for the local culture and
exactly.
Aren't trying to impose American norms.
Exactly. No, I got it. Art Keller, that's a great takeaway. Former case officer with the CIA, he has an op-ed in the New York Times today, culturally appropriate work on the ground in Afghanistan. It's a policy we have yet to see in the Obama administration. Thanks, Art.
Thank you.